The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, how are you? I hope you're doing okay. I think I'm getting a flu or something like that, but a cold. But anyhow, I'm glad to be with you this morning to reflect on God's Word one more time. We are on this community, the community of Jesus apprentices. And what I can tell you is we are here to be like the Master, loving like He loved, serving like He served. And the way for us to reach this point is based on our motto. And our motto says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. It is based on this motto that Jesus' apprentices, they will accomplish the way of life that God expects from us. If we love the Lord with all our heart, if we love our neighbors and love ourselves, we'll accomplish the goal that is love. On our journey, and we are on our 14th week, every week we have a memory verse. A memory verse that is extracted from one of the verses from our study for the week. And the memory verse is from the verse that we'll be studying tomorrow by God's grace. Luke 6:45. And the memory verse says, a good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Today, somehow, we'll have an introduction to understand deeply this verse. This verse is part of another segment or another illustration of Jesus about the main topics that he's teaching on the Sermon of the Mountain or the Sermon of the Plain, according to Luke chapter 6. And what I can tell you is more important than the behavior, God is concerned with your heart, with your soul, who you really are. You can tweak your behavior, you can learn how to behave properly, but that doesn't mean that your heart is in alignment with God. So God is expecting you to take care of the inside, and from the inside flows the outside. That's a transformational process that only the Holy Spirit can do it and produce it. For this reason, we need to seek the Lord every single day and surrender to Him every single day. And we know that every time we come to the Lord every single day, grace and mercy are waiting for us. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. So at this moment, I want to give you a moment for you to connect with God, to align with God, to ask God to open your eyes, open your ears, to prepare your heart for God's Word, that you will hear only His Word, and that God will give you the right impressions through the Holy Spirit so you can follow and be part of this work that God is trying to do in your life. And after that moment of prayer and reflection, we'll come back to consider verses 43 and 45 of Luke chapter 6. So take this moment to have a connection with God. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings, for life, for health, for hope, and for Jesus Christ. Lord, at this moment, we want to surrender to you, to your will, your word, and your desire for our lives. Speak to us, Lord, and transform us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, maybe someone that is listening to my voice at this moment is facing a challenge, questions, insecurity, burdens. And I pray that through your grace and mercy, you will provide peace, hope, healing, forgiveness, restoration, salvation. Be with us, Lord. Bless us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are studying the Sermon of the Plain. We have been on this Sermon of the Plain for a few weeks already. We are trying to see verse by verse, consider, try to extract some lessons applying to us. And why we're doing that? Well, first of all, is Jesus' teaching. Just for that, would be necessary for us to consider Jesus' words and trying to learn about them. But also, it is because, in my humble opinion, that these words, the Sermon of the Plain, it is more than just teachings of Jesus. It's Jesus' Torah. It's Jesus' laws, expectations, requirements for those that have decided to follow him, to be his disciples, his apprentices. In my humble opinion, Luke 6 is an expansion of God's will that was portrayed on the Hebrew Bible in Exodus 20 in a more detailed, expanded, and a version coming directly from Jesus Christ. So the same way that Jewish and other Christians have a great appreciation and dedication for the Torah, the five books of the Bible, for Exodus 20. As Christians, we should have the same appreciation and dedication to the Sermon of the Mount, the Sermon of the Plain. I'm not saying that we should ignore what was presented before. No, what I'm saying is, let's focus here, because what Jesus is presenting is building up based on the previous one. And on this teaching, the Sermon of the Plain, or as I mentioned today, Jesus' Torah, we have a description of who God is, his kingdom, a merciful, a graceful kingdom. Therefore, if I have submit my life to Jesus, I need to enter into this kingdom, experience this grace, this love, and this mercy, and live by the principles of this kingdom, the grace, the love, and the mercy. And as we do that, as we live by love, and as emerging from love, we have grace and mercy, as we live by love and grace and mercy, we will be being restored to the original plan, because we were created according to the image and likeness of God to live in a graceful kingdom, in a merciful kingdom, in a loving kingdom, to share love, grace, and mercy. So what we are experiencing here is a comeback home, is a returning, is a homecoming. As we come back to the original plan. And what I can tell you is that the original plan goes against the ways of this world, goes against the inclination of humankind.
That's the reason there is a need for a transformation, a complete transformation. A transformation that will lead me to love all people based in a principle. The principle of love. The principle of love goes beyond a love as a feeling. As I have feelings for someone, I hug this person, I kiss this person, I want to be around this person all most of the time, right? The principle of love talks about respect, talks about consideration, dignity, right? I'll have respect for people, have dignity for people. I'll not try to hurt people. That's the principle of love. And this principle of love should be applied to everyone, even those that are different from us, that think or behave different from us. And at the same time, should be applied to those that are called our enemies. And who are our enemies according to the Sermon of the Plain? There's four qualities or four descriptions of those that are enemies. Those that hate us, those that exclude us, those that mock us, and those that curse us. So those that are on this disposition against us, they should receive our love of respect, consideration, and not a way of reciprocity, just giving you what I got. And at the same time, because I have this merciful approach, because what we read in Luke 6:36, you must be compassionate just as your father is compassionate. Because I have this merciful approach, I have this love as principle, I will not judge people. I will not label them and not, I will not imprisonate them to their actions or the label that I have applied to them. I'll be merciful towards their faults or their actions. And Jesus now, through illustrations, he's trying to describe ways to illustrate this way of the kingdom and other ways. And yesterday we studied about those that have a kind of a log on their eyes. If you don't have a mercy approach, it's like you have a log in your eyes, because the proper way to see people and deal with people is through mercy. And if I don't cannot see myself, if I have a 4x4 in front of my eyes, I cannot see myself properly. I cannot see other people in a proper way. Therefore, whatever I will do will be the wrong way. And now we come a second one, a second aspect. A second aspect that will come with a word that Jesus used on the day before, right? Yesterday, or in our study yesterday. Hypocrite, right? And we studied yesterday that hypocrite is someone that, on that time, right? We're studying about that time, was someone that worked or play a role on a Roman or a Greek theater, right? Or those that are not doing the way of God. And now we come to verses 43. In verse 43 to 45, they should be understood as one major segment or one major development of Jesus' teaching. Today we're just studying verse 43 and 44, and then tomorrow 45. And I'm dividing because I think there's some aspects that we need to consider here. And if we had grouped everything together, maybe we would miss a few good points, important points for us. But 43, 44, and 45 is a basic structure of two illustrations. Basically, 43 presents one illustration, 44 presents a second illustration, and then in the 45, Jesus brings to an application. Jesus used on this illustration an agricultural illustration. And I want to call your attention to that, because what Jesus is using is a language that the people that he was speaking to were familiar with. Remember, Jesus is the Galilee. The north of Israel is Galilee, a place for farmers, a place for fishermen, people that work in their gardens. So because Jesus was raised on such environment and it is speaking to people from this environment, he applies illustrations related to that environment, right? And if we could go and do a comparation or a contrast with Paul, the illustrations of Paul comes more from a city environment. Paul was a cosmopolitan person. So he used illustrations of a city, of games, the Olympic games, of runs and other business that take in around the city. So in a sense, what we see, God is trying to speak to us in the way that we understand. The power is not in the illustration itself, because that just works as a means to get to a message. So sometimes we focus so much in the illustration that we miss the point that the main goal is the message itself. And as we consider the message, we should understand the values, the principles, extract that, bring to our life right now, because we cannot even use these illustrations. I know I live in Saskatchewan and we have a lot of farmers around, so maybe they can connect with the reality here. But from me, that I grew up in an apartment in São Paulo where there's no trees, it's just buildings and concrete, sometimes I cannot relate to those images, right? So more important to the word, the letter of the word, is to try to understand the principles, extract them, and to apply these principles today. Because the illustration, the way, the culture is like 2,000 years ago, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. So the way is extract the principles, bring these principles to our days, and apply these principles today. So let's turn now to verse 43 and 44. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. Let's stop here. So I don't think it's too complicated to grasp some of the ideas here, right? A good tree will produce good fruit. A bad tree will produce bad fruit. You don't expect from a bush to give you figs. You don't expect you to from thorns to have grapes. You see, those two illustrations, they are self-explanatory, right? However, how can we apply and try to expect the lessons here? How can I understand those verses based on what Jesus is telling us, and in a sense, telling us through a narrative of someone, in the case of Luke? Because, you see, on the Sermon of the Mount, and maybe we should go there, Matthew chapter 7, right? As you know, the Sermon of the Mount is an expanded version, let's say, of the Sermon of the Plain. And some people suggest that many of the aspects that Luke presented came from the Sermon of the Mount, of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And here in Matthew 7, when Matthew is portraying the Sermon of the Mountain and this specific moment, he writes on verse 15. And here he gives a context. Be aware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from a thistle? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So I think it's clear here that based on Matthew, these verses should be understood and applied based on false prophets. And on Matthew's narrative, he focused a lot on about false teachers and false prophets. He's trying to bring awareness about the false prophets. So on that narrative, well, that makes sense. But here, Luke on chapter 6, he does not refer to bad or false prophets or even teachers per se. He just presents. But some people say, okay, now the only way for you to understand these verses is based on false prophets because Matthew wrote that are false prophets. And as we are studying, we realize that Luke has a different narrative. And he maybe is trying to present a different perspective. And the Bible and its principles and values can present different perspectives, different interpretations, and that's okay. I know, and we talked about that before, that on the Greek or Hellenistic world, we can have just one correct answer. And if we have one correct, all the others are wrong. But in the biblical understanding, you can have multiples right answers or multiple wrong answers. All are right, all are wrong, right? That flows differently. And for sure, as I read, a good tree can produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can produce good fruit. I can apply to false teachers, false prophets, and there's no problem with that. However, I think as we consider the narrative that Luke is building, I think we can come up with different perspectives and different interpretations. That does not destroy the other interpretations, but add to. And here, in my humble opinion, because look over and over, he's coming back with that main thought of Luke 6:36, you must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. And we study all the parables so far through this lens. And what would be maybe the interpretation of this illustration here based on this perspective? A good tree. Or we could see a merciful tree. Cannot produce hate. A merciful tree cannot produce exclusion. A merciful tree cannot produce lies, cursing. A merciful tree cannot produce judgment. Because from a merciful tree, mercy will come. You see, we know another verse from Matthew that we like to refer to. By its fruits, you know the person. The focus on this understanding is the fruit. So look at their fruit, their actions, their life, their legacy, and then you can understand if that is a good tree or not. So if I focus only on this perspective, I may be tempted to see, okay, so I need to look like a good fruit. And what a good fruit looks like. And then we go to Galatians 5, verse 22, 23, where there's the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is patient. Okay, so I need to be patient. I cannot lose my temper. I need to be cool. So I can learn to behave in a certain way that I will not lose my temper. But not because I behave in that way, that means that my heart was transformed. I can deceive people by the fruits. But at the end, my heart will not be in alignment with the fruit. And this lack of alignment is the idea of hypocrite. And Jesus is calling, don't be a hypocrite. Let flow. From a bad tree will come what? Not good fruits. And from a good tree will come what? Good fruits. The focus here is not on the fruit, but on the tree, on the being. So there's this contrast about or between the being and the doing. And where the being is more important than the doing. What is crucial is the being and not the doing per se. And Jesus is calling our attention, say, you're good, not because you came from Abraham. You're good, not because you keep 613 laws. You're good, not because you keep other laws from helping you to break from breaking the 613 laws. What he's saying is, a good tree is a tree that is aligning with the compassionate God. And that will bring good fruits. So instead of reading just a good tree, maybe insert a good, merciful tree. And here you can apply to the teachings of someone, the life of someone. But even though, it does not matter because you're dealing with the false base of merciful, in a merciful way. Right? It doesn't matter the fruits of the people if you have the right tree, a merciful tree that is real to its essence and not misguided by appearances. And Jesus will focus more and more on the inside than the outside. And for Jesus, he would expect that Israel, the leaders, would be good trees based on the mercy of God. And that brings back, and there's some correlation and expressions and even some words used in Isaiah chapter 5. And I'll not read Isaiah 5 completely, but maybe I would encourage you to do so. Because here we have a parable of God. And I'll read the first three verses. Now, I will sing, and I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 5. Now I'll sing for you one I love, a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted with the best vines. In the middle of he built a watchtower and curved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes. So he did everything right. And he was expecting sweet grapes. But the grapes that grew were bitter. And now comes verse 3, right? That helps us to understand the key or the direction that we're going for with this illustration. Now, you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done? When I expect sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? And here what we see is the people of Israel being this vineyard. And God had done everything right. But even though the sweet grapes didn't come up, and somehow God has created you according to the image and likeness of God, and unfortunately, because of sin, we don't reflect that. But through Jesus Christ, we can reflect that back. But if we want to reflect the work of God, if we want to reflect the owner of the vineyard, if we want to reflect the kingdom of God and the king, we need to be sweet grapes. And the sweet grapes on this context will be merciful or mercy acts, because the vineyard is a merciful vineyard, because your Father is merciful. Be merciful. And just going quickly here to verse 44, a tree is identified by its fruit and somehow connect with the previous idea. But comes the second idea: figs are never gathered from thorny bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. So what we have here is, you cannot expect a fruit from a thorn bush. So each kind of plant or tree will give its appropriate fruit. And somehow God will not expect from someone that has not been submitted to him, that someone that has not aligned himself to Christ, surrender his life to Christ, to produce the good fruit of mercy, of not judging, loving all. However, for those that have submitted to God and to his kingdom, his rulership, he expects nothing less than being like God. And sometimes we miss the point. Sometimes we miss the point. Because being a Christian is not having a name in the books of a church. Be a Christian is not agree to a set of beliefs. Being a Christian is not to live by a set of expected behaviors. Being a Christian is carrying the name of Christ as if you are married to Christ. Be a Christian is to be little Christ, to adopt his way of life. Being a Christian is being merciful. And I know when we go to John chapter 3, where we have the experience between Jesus and Nicodemus, and we hear the words, "You must be born again." Most of the time we like to use this phrase, "You must be born again," to those people that have not been baptized, have not accepted God, they are unchurched, they are outside. But the context here talks about a religious man, Nicodemus, a leader of the Jewish religious life, an example of man. And Jesus is approaching them and say, "You must be born again. You must be aligned with God's kingdom. You must be born from above. Be aligned with the kingdom of God." And somehow, this message of the good tree is a message for us Christians, where if we call ourselves Christians, we must be giving the fruit of a Christian life that is based on love. And the fruits will be merciful and graceful. And if for some reason, what you are giving is not based on mercy or grace. You and I must be born again. So let me ask you, what are your fruits? What is your tree? Is based on mercy, grace, or is based on hate, exclusion, cursing, bad mouthing? What is based your tree and its fruits? And I'm asking this question not to play the guilty game here. That's not my role. But I'm asking these questions for you to reflect and invite you, myself, to surrender, to be born again. Let's show what Christians really should be, what kind of fruits that is based on Luke 6, verse 36. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for your message, the implications, the illustrations. And help us, Lord, to understand your will for us. And more than understand is to apply this will for our lives. Forgive our sins. And help us, Lord, to give good fruits because we are good trees, reflecting the merciful God. Be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to our questions of reflection, and here they are. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you abundantly. And tomorrow we'll be studying verse 45, the application that Jesus gave to these verses, how he interpreted these verses. And I pray that you'll be with us. By God's grace, you'll be here. And remember, God is merciful. So let's be merciful people. May God bless you.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.